Today's title is Trials, Getting Through It. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. We just believe for our hearts to be open, our minds to be receptive, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear what you want to speak to each individual person today. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure I could say for all of us that maybe everything has not gone as planned for your life this year, the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Maybe some of you thought your life would be different than what it is today. And, you know, you hear the question, well, if God is so good, then why is the world in the shape that it is in today? You know, that's like, if you could pull up that picture of that truck, that's like seeing this truck that it's got a smashed fender right there. That's like saying, why did Ford make a vehicle like that? How do you know if Ford didn't make a vehicle like that? When it rolled off the assembly line, it was in pristine shape with everything in place, nice paint job, everything was perfect. It did not roll off. Oh, that's the way we made that. I don't think there'd be too many people buying Ford trucks. I've got one. I wouldn't buy one if it came off the assembly line like that and say, well, that's just the way they made it. It's the same way with the planet that you live on today. God did not make this planet the way that it is today. But man did the destruction. Man has made poor choices, extremely poor choices, I might add. And so this is the world that we have. But thank God, he didn't leave us like, yeah, man, it's a mess. John 16:33, this is what Jesus told his disciples. He told us all. And this is one of the last things he said before he went to heaven, back up to heaven. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustrations. And everybody could probably say, yes, I've had all of those this morning. Tribulation, trials, and distress, and frustration. But anytime you see the word but in the Bible, that means everything that I have said is changed, and there's something that goes higher than what I just said, or there's a higher truth. Anytime you see the word but, so he says, you're going to have trials, tribulations, and frustration, but be of good cheer. Really? You want me to be happy the way the world is going right now? Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Why? For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, he that is joined to the Lord, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you are joined and made one with Jesus. You are one with him. So in other words, inside of you, you're a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man is not on one side, on the inside of you, and Jesus on the other side. No, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you have been joined to the Lord and you become one spirit. Now, it's important that you understand that because of this scripture. For many scriptures, it said, Jesus said, I have conquered the world for you. Be of good cheer. Be happy. Don't let this world deprive you and harm you because I have conquered it for you. Now, if Jesus said, I have conquered it, and if we are one with him, follow me now, that means you have conquered it. You have conquered it. Every problem, every trial, everything that you will ever face on this planet, the power to overcome it is inside of you. So be of good cheer. The point is, we're meant to overcome in the midst of all of your trials, all your troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have trouble. As long as you breathe on this planet, stuff is going to happen. Stuff happens. But God doesn't want you to say, well, you know, just get by the best you can. You have to take a hold of this scripture and say, I believe, right in the midst of your problem, right in the midst of it, you have to get a hold of this scripture and say, I believe that God has given me wisdom, not only to just get through this, but to have victory in the midst of this problem. Amen? James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, any kind of trouble, that doesn't leave any kind of trouble out. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You think, I mean, has James just lost his mind? You consider great joy when, you know, your car breaks down. I remember when I was 17, I had a 69 Chevelle. If you've been here long, you've heard me talk about that prized possession that I had. Coolest car I've ever owned in my life until this day. I'm 64. I've never had a car that cool in my whole entire life. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, it was a cool car. But I was 16, and so for a year, they must have found out that, I think they thought it was a Malibu, which meant that it had a smaller engine. It was more of a grandma-type car. They didn't know that it had a 396 and could lay rubber from here to Chicago. But they evidently found out, and they were going to raise my insurance. This was 1976 to $1,000 a year. That might not seem like a lot, but that was, to me, all the money on the planet. And so when they raised my insurance to $1,000 a month, like any 17-year-old, I thought, well, I'm just going to drop my insurance. And so I did. I was still making payments on that Chevelle. I owed money to the bank. And Ron Waller, he's a banker. He said, you know, in reality, the insurance company should have notified the bank saying that your client dropped insurance on that, so they would know that that car is not covered because I was still making payments on it. I don't know, but at that time, I wish they would have contacted my bank, but they did not. So I dropped the insurance, and just about a few weeks after that, that car burned to the ground and literally blew up. I won't go into details how or why, but it was because of my choices and what I did, and the car burned to the ground. I paid on that car for 6 months after that. You know, it's really sad when you make payments on something that it does not exist. Are you following me? So I made payments on that for 6 months, and I did pay it off, and I had nothing to show for it. But I would have never thought I'm going to have a party tonight. Why? I'm just going to rejoice. My Chevelle just burned to the ground, and we're just going to get together and celebrate. That was never an option in my thinking. But listen to me. I got so depressed, and that's why I joined the United States Air Force, because I thought I'm going to get away from all of my troubles and everything, and all of the responsibilities. I'm just going to join the Air Force and get away from people telling me what to do. Again, you have to be 18 years of age to make that kind of decision. But anyway, I did that, and God used everything in that situation to guide and direct my life. I'll just tell you this, parents. You may think that your kids are just going and making crazy decisions, and they may. But I guarantee you, if you're praying for them, they're going to be directed by God. They may not seem like it. They may be, it's like, have you ever seen those golfers, you know, when they make a putt, you know, the hole's there and they're facing this direction. And if you're looking at it on TV, you go, what in the world is he doing? But you can't tell that the green is just on a slanted hillside. And so they're facing that way, and the hole's that way. And so when they putt, the ball originally goes out that way, but then it just makes its way. I mean, I remember Tiger Woods. I used to be really into golf. I saw the most To me, I just thought, that's a miracle. That's impossible for any man to do. He made a putt, and it did that. It went this way, but then it just went all the way back over to this way, and then it just went that way, and it made an S. And it went in the hole, and everybody just went ballistic, and I just went, that's impossible. No man can do that. And my point is this, that's the way sometimes you may think your life or your child's life, my life, there's been times you think, man, I'm going in the wrong direction. It just seems like nothing's going right. I just can't get my act together. And I tell you what, I'm just going to, and God says, I got you. I got you. Boom, right in the hole. I got you. I got you. It may look like you're going left. It may look like you're going right. But I'm telling you, if you look to God, the whole world may think you're going the wrong direction. You don't know what you're doing. God's saying, I got you. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Listen to me. Bad circumstances aren't something we're supposed to just put up with. You just suck it up and live it out. That's what so many people do. We were meant to learn how to thrive in the midst of them. I'm going to say it again. You don't just go through life and when problems come, tragedies come, all hell breaks loose. God never intends you just to, use your own ability, use what wisdom, use what education, intelligence, or the lack thereof. Just do the best you can. And, when it's all said and done, this day will be over, this week, this year, this month, this life. God never intended that. He never intended us to live on this planet and just let the circumstances of life beat you silly. Beat you up day in and day out. You wake up in the morning, okay, another day to be beat up. Another day just to grip my teeth and bear it. No. I said no. He wants us to learn how to live in the world from that sacred place where Christ has deprived it of power to harm you. There is a place in God that no matter what happens, He said, I have deprived that thing that's coming against you. I have deprived it its ability to harm you. It's kind of like a wasp or a bee or something that the stinger's been pulled up. Is it the bee when it loses its stinger or uses it, it dies? There's a wasp. It keeps living. Keeps stinging. Does it? This is National Geographic 101. I need some help. The bee dies, but the wasps. I remember in Africa when we were missionaries in Africa, I was trimming this flower Melody wanted me to trim, and something unknown to man landed right there, and I saw it land. It looked like a 747, but it was actually some kind of stinging thing, and it stung me. And I jumped, and then I wanted to cry, but it hurt too bad to cry. It hurt too bad to cry. Have you ever had that kind of pain? You just hurt so bad. Nothing comes out. But in my hand just immediately just went, whoop. I thought, I don't know if there's such a thing as a deadly hornet or something in Africa, but I thought I was going to die. But this is the thing. It would have not, what if somebody had the ability to get tweezers and just pull that stinger out, and it landed on me, and it really wanted just to put the fear of the hornet inside of me, but I knew it didn't have the ability to harm me. Even though it still looked nasty and bad, ugly, and in my brain, it thought, you know what that thing did the last time? But in my heart, I knew that the stinger had been pulled out. It didn't have the ability to harm me. This is what God has done for you and me in every problem, in every circumstance, in everything that you and I will ever face. The stinger is pulled out. It's been pulled out to the degree that God will give you the wisdom, not just to get through it, but He'll give you the ability to overcome it and be a conqueror all the way in the middle of it. Amen? You say, that just seems hard for me to get a hold of. Well, this is why you got to get to know your Heavenly Father. Most people, you know, they'll say, oh, I believe in God, or I serve God, or I know God. But God they know and the God that I know is two different gods, even though it's the same God. The God that I know doesn't put sickness on people. The God that they know believes that God not only puts sickness on people, but He does it to train and teach them something. I don't know about you, but when you've been sick in the past, did you learn some great lesson that you need to write a book about how what you've learned about principles in life through sickness? You may have learned something, but I tell you what, as an earthly father, I would never put sickness on my kids to say, you know, I'm going to teach you something this week. What's that? You'll find out it's going to be cancer, but I'm just going to put something on you so you'll learn. No father, I mean, Francisco, just this newborn, you would never just say that, Camilla, this is going to be tough, but I'm going to put something bad on you so I can teach you something. Is that the most stupid thing you ever heard of in your life? Thank you. Yes, it is. How stupider? If you're from Kentucky, you can get that translation. But how stupider can you be to think that way about your Heavenly Father? Come on now. How stupid can you be to think God, the creator of all things, would do that to His children? Come on now. You want your child to prosper. You want your child to I want my kids to have a better home, to have a better position in life, to have more joy in life than I could ever dream or imagine. I want my kids to be just so upside down happy. It's just unbelievable. That's what I want for my kids. Can all the parents say amen? Isn't that what you want for your kids? And I mean, sometimes, I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, when they're younger or even older, you think, I did not discipline you enough, obviously. But anyway, you still have in the back of your mind, you want what's best for your kids. No matter how they're performing, acting, or doing, you still want what's best for them. Is that right? If they mess up or make a poor choice, you don't go, all right, serves you. That just serves you. You made your bed, now lie in it. I don't really know what that means, but it's a terrible saying. That's not how God wants for, you know. You made poor choices, so you just got to live with it. And the poor choices that you do make, your Heavenly Father says, I can get you out of this mess. You chose poorly, but I can get you out of this mess. That's how God wants you to know Him. I said, that's how God wants you to know Him. If you think God is against you, are you going to... I think this is why people don't read their Bible, go to church, or have anything to do with God, because they don't think that He's got their best interests at heart anyway. Not only does He have your best interests at heart, He wants a better life than you could ever dream or think of. But you need to understand that every trial that you come in, it does not have the ability to defeat you unless you give it that ability. Fear. Fear can make you believe a lie. One of our instructors in Bible college, he said that he had a dream one night that he had a horrible toothache in the middle of his dream. And he just was in pain in his dream, and he woke up in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, he shook his wife. He says, you got to pray for my tooth. My jaw is hurting so bad. It's just hurting so bad. She says, what? And he stopped for a minute, and he thought, I don't have any pain. It It was a dream. But when he woke up, he believed that lie, and he thought he was in a lot of pain. It was just a dream. It was a lie. If you believe the lie, it gives substance, or you empower what that lie is trying to tell you. Are you hearing me? Amen. Our problem is we keep asking the wrong question. People go, why is God allowing this? Why is God allowing us? Why does he allow the world to be in the shape that it is? Well, like we said, that God gave this. Do you realize God gave the earth to man? He gave it to man. And this is what he said to Adam. He says, Adam, I want you to know that you've been given dominion. That's a powerful word. You've been given dominion over everything. Over the fish, over the creepity crawlers, and even the snakes. You know, and the Bible says that Satan got inside of a snake and appeared to a snake. And most theologians think that the snake back in that day was really beautiful and stood upright. And it didn't crawl like that. It stood upright. The snake did. And that, how many enjoy snakes? Okay, I was just curious. But anyway, the snake stood up and it started talking to at Eve. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were given dominion over everything that creeps, all of the animals, which would include the snake. But they chose not to use that dominion, and they believed a lie, and therefore there was great consequences in believing that lie. Did you know there's all, listen to me, there's always consequences if you believe a lie. There are consequences. But even in the midst of believing a lie, even believing something that's not true, God says, I'll still make a way for you. The Bible says before Adam and Eve sinned, before the world was even created, that he had an answer to man's sin and his problem. Jesus was crucified and offered even before the foundation of the world. In other words, before God made the world, he had an answer. Did you know God always has an answer to your situation before the problem ever comes? Dad Hagemeyer has a sermon. It may be called Fresh Bread. But he says this. Aren't you thankful that when you go to Safeway, Walmart, or any King Supers, whatever grocery store you go to, you don't go there and say, I need a loaf of bread. Oh, you do? Okay, just give us just a minute. Somebody, let's get the flour. Let's get that. Let's just get this going and turn the heat, the stove on. Come on, we got to get this going. Aren't you glad they don't have to do that? I hate going to the store now. I would really hate going to the store if they had to do that. If you have to wait till they get it made. No, you know what? They expect you to want bread. And I have already prepared it for you, packaged it up, and it's waiting for you to buy on the shelf. It's already there for you. It's the same way with your Heavenly Father. Healing is the children's bread. It's already been made. It's already been provided. All provision, everything that you need. 1 Peter 2, 2 Peter 1, 3. It's in Peter. The God says, I have provided you everything that you will ever need on this planet. Everything that you will ever need is on this planet. And I know that, you know, if you watch the news and everything, as his divine power has given us, 2 Peter 1, 3, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life. What do you need for life? You need gas to get in your car. First of all, you need a car. You need a place to live. He says, I have provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. Anything spiritual, anything that you need, he says, I've already got you covered. Through the knowledge of him, first of all, you have to know, have knowledge of Jesus for all these things to manifest in your life, that knowing that he can do it for you. He can do it for you. It's been provided for you. Real quick, let's go, before I'm running out of time, Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You know, there's been people that made this a doctrine to say that God predestines everybody. No. The only thing that God predestined is for everybody who believes in him, that they will be made in the image of Jesus Christ and have the ability to walk even like he walks. But you have to know that. He wants everybody on this planet to accept him. And so if you do, he says, if you do that, I predestined you to be like my son, Jesus. So you look at Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How did he walk on this planet? He said, I have given you, 1 John, he says, I've given you the ability to walk even as he walked. You know, these are things that you hear preach, and I even know in my mind, but you just got to meditate on it and say, you know what, I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around that. You have a hard time wrapping your brain? How many ever took trigonometry or calculus in school? Oh, look at it. We have an educated, highly intelligent church. But there's things that you learn in school that, you know, I love math, but there's certain things, you know, like, and I took chemistry too, and you did mole problems. You ever heard of mole problems? They should be buried. They should have never been. Yeah. Thank you for that one hand. I mean, it takes a whole page. My chemistry teacher would take the whole bulletin board from left to right. It was like four big squares. She would take me to do one problem. When I started learning that, I go, this is just wrong. There should never be a whole, and it takes her the whole 50 minutes to explain this one problem. My brain just had a hard time wrapping my common sense around that. I just couldn't get there. But you know what? By the end of the semester, you know, I got a C+ or B-. I can't remember which one. I passed, so that was remarkable. But my point is, I had to give time. Listen to me. I had to give time to what she was trying to teach me to wrap my brain around that. It's the same way with the things of God. You can't just hear something one time to wrap that God has given you the power over sickness and disease. You hear that one time and most people go, just not me. No? Yeah. By the end of the semester, that chemistry teacher, her name was Dr. Hamilton. Anybody who teaches you it's a doctor, you better fasten your seatbelt because it's going to be tough. And she did, though. She taught. She was the highest paid chemistry teacher in the city of Louisville, Kentucky. She taught at University of Louisville, and she was just 160,000 years old. But anyway, she just was just, when she talked, she never smiled. She's scary, and she was only about that tall. But she was just scary because just everything came out of her mouth was just intelligence higher than me. And most of the stuff just went. But by the end of the semester, she made you, everybody, learn how to do this. Listen, there's things that it's hard that we teach or that come out of the Bible that just doesn't make sense. 1 Peter 2:20, by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. My God shall provide all of your needs according to his riches. 2 Peter 1:3, that anything that's on this planet, God says, I have provided everything for you. And, you know, Melody and I, we have a bird feeders, hummingbird feeders. We got 50 million birds come to our property every day. And it says in Matthew, look at the birds, the sparrows. They neither sow nor reap. But your Heavenly Father makes sure they're taken care of every day. They don't have a Walmart to go to. They don't have a garden that they plant. But evidently, I've never seen those birds in our backyard going their wings, going, I don't know, man. I just haven't seen that. He hasn't filled up the bird feeder today. I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know. I've never seen that. Never have seen that. Birds are not worried. They're not rubbing their little wings together. They're not. They're not worried. Evidently, there's something inside of them that they know that their Creator will take care of them no matter what. Then he turns and says, Jesus is teaching this to him, and he says, how much more valuable are you than the birds that are here today and gone tomorrow? How much more valuable are you? Evidently, we don't put enough value on ourselves. Hear me now. Evidently, we don't put enough value on ourselves to think, yeah, but you know, interest rates are 7-point-something% now. I mean, you just don't know. Yeah, God didn't take that in consideration, did he? Yeah, but you know, the economy, inflation, you know, I mean, it's still up there. It's just real bad. Yeah, God didn't get that either. He didn't get that memo. He didn't know it was going to do that. Did you know? He says that everything's been provided for you, no matter how high the interest rate will be, how high the gas will go, how shortage anything will be. He says, as far as for me and my house, we are going to make sure that we are taken care of because of God is a good father. Amen? Give me 2 more minutes. All right. Psalms 46:1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You know, that's a little bit more scary than just interest rates going up when the whole earth moves or a mountain gets pulled up. I mean, how about you if you were sitting on your back porch one day and you just see Pike's Peak just uprooted and just flies through the air towards the ocean? I don't know, that may get your attention just a little bit. It says if a mountain gets uprooted and thrown into the sea, don't fear. Oh, that's funny. But he's saying that because he says you have the ability to do that if you're connected to God. Though the earth can shake, the whole world can shake, and the mountains be cast into the sea. Go to verse, though its waters roar and be troubled through the mountains, shake with its swelling. Selah. That's not an Italian girl's name and that's put there. That just means pause and think about that. Selah sounds Italian. Is it Italian? Sounds Selah. Sounds like somebody's name in Italy. Maybe not. But it means you just need to think about that. Meditate upon that. Think about it. He's saying that God is your refuge and your strength. Your refuge just means it's a place of fortress that you can go to and be protected. But also it says your strength. In other words, there's always going to be something in our life that you're not strong enough to face. And then God says, your strength won't be able to handle this. But I will give you strength not only to handle it, but to overcome it. I've got an opinion about Samson. You know, if you ever see any of the Samson movies or you see the storybooks, Samson looks like, The Rock. What's his name? Dwayne Johnson. Samson always looks like The Rock. You know, Dwayne Johnson, you know. I mean, just like me. Okay, maybe not so much. But anyway, I believe David probably did look like me. For this reason, nobody goes up to The Rock or Dwayne Johnson and say, where do you get your strength? How do you do so many? How do you bench press, 4,000 pounds? How do you do it? They know. Are you hearing me? If Samson looked like The Rock, the Pharisees and all these people, Philistines, they wouldn't be asking, Delilah to find out where his strength is. They just could tell. He says, man, that dude's a weightlifter. That's where he gets his strength. Nobody knew where he got his strength from. Which tells me he must have been a little dude. But the Spirit of God would come upon him. I mean, that's a little bit envious. I mean, in a way, it'd be cool if that kind of same anointing or power would come upon me. I'd go, you want a piece of me? Come on. Took the jawbone of a donkey and he defeated the whole Philistine army. One guy, one jawbone. People go, how does he do that? He took the gates off the city, which were massive gates It was the protection of the city. He took them off their foundation and took them up the hill and threw them up there. The whole Philistine nation feared one man because they didn't know where his strength came from, and his strength was in God. What's the point of the message? The point is this. That same ability, whatever you need in life, that same strength. Psalms 46 says, God is your refuge and he is your strength. So you and I need to pray, God, I need to be able to tap into that strength. Don't let trials overcome you and get the best of you. Ask God to deliver you from what is hindering you to get not only through this, but to get to your destination, to get through this trial. I need strength, God. Evidently, I'm not seeing what I need to see. So you help me to see so I can overcome every obstacle. Because listen to me, this is it. You are meant to overcome every problem and every obstacle that you will ever face on this planet. Every single one of them. God wants you to know that he has placed inside of you. So this is the time that you say, all right, God, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to believe you. Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you're having a difficulty. If you're having a situation, if you're having a problem, the first thing you need to do is, I have overcoming wisdom and ability inside me to overcome this. If you don't start thinking that way, then you're going to have to face this problem in your own intellect and your own ability, and most of us don't have what it takes to get through every problem in life. So if you're facing something, on my right and on your left, these people will pray with you and for you. If you're battling something in your physical body or some sickness, some pain, let these people pray for you. Amen? Anything that you're facing, anything that you're facing, God wants you to know he does want you to go through it on your own ability, on your own strength. He not only will help you, he not only will help you, he will cause you to overcome it. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, I just believe in Jesus' name that the eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that every person in here, maybe there's people that are not going through anything, but Father, we know the future. Problems arise, circumstances arise. Let them know there's a place of refuge and there is strength available for them. Like any good father that would turn to their child and say, I'm going to help you through this. I will help you through this. Help us not to forget this, Lord. A lot of things that distract us, but Father, may this be tattooed in our heart that God is a very present help in time of trouble, and that you will help us. No more whining, no more complaining. I'm trusting God. I am trusting. No more sharing with my friends. Oh, you just don't know what's going on. No, no. If I have to share anything, it'll be with you, Father. Help us pull up, just to pull out all the stops and say, I'm trusting God. In Jesus' name. Amen.